This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's May the 11th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. And after that, we'll hear from University of Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger. There's some folks in the central part of the state of Illinois that may need to run a hoe over some corn ground to get it out of the ground. He'll talk a bit about that and, more importantly, about the cool weather and what to look for in terms of seedling diseases. If your corn's been in the ground more than a couple of weeks and isn't up yet, you might want to take a little jaunt across that field with a pocket knife. More from Emerson a little bit later in this edition of the Closing Market Report, along with a discussion of the agricultural weather forecast with meteorologist Peter Levitt. It all happens right here on AM 580.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The May wheat at $3.82.5, up a nickel today. July futures at $3.92, up 7.5 cents. May wheat in Kansas City, $4.66. They were up 11 for the day. From the corn pit in Chicago, 2.37¾. The May contract finishing 7¾ higher. July futures at 2.47 were up 7 cents on the day. And the September's at 258 were up 6¾. December contract today, $2.71¼, up 6 cents. Soy complex now, May bean, 6.02¾. They were up 9½. July up 7 at 6.13. And the August at 6.18½, up 7½. November beans at 6.31¼, up 6 cents for the day. May bean meal, 177.80. They were off 80. May bean oil up 102 at 25.97. May feeder cattle at the Mercantile Exchange, $101.82½. They were up $1 even. And the live cattle finished at $76.45, up $1.35. And the lean hogs finished the May contract at $67.70, they were up 15 cents for the day. Outside markets, crude oil, $73.25 the last trade, up $1.12. The dollar at $84.24, down 36. The Dow at 11,493, up 149 at this hour. Silver trading the nearby June contract at 1480. They are up 57.6. And the gold trading the nearby June contract at 721.50, up $15.80 for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us on this Thursday afternoon to take a look at the marketplace is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Wow, what a day in Chicago. What happened?
Well, I think basically the bull market basically continues. Soybeans kind of came out of a pretty good low there in mid-April and traced out a monthly reversal to the upside during the month of April, and now we're following through. Beans basically made a new high for the move to the upside here. We're right up against the late March high points, and if we start taking those out, I think then you'd begin to really confirm that a major low has taken hold in the bean complex. You look at the wheat market, it still worries about the hard red winter wheat crop estimate, probably going to come out tomorrow morning, one of the lowest that we've seen in some time. The wheat market took out its previous reaction high here earlier this week, so it's come off of kind of a double bottom formation and broke some downtrend line. So wheat kind of looks like it's on the verge of doing a counter seasonal trend climb to the upside. Have to, I think, wait till next week to probably get some solid confirmation on that. But the wheat kind of looks like it's in a counter-seasonal climb higher. Corn, while corn's maybe up here 7 cents or 6 cents here, it still has probably the most lackluster chart pattern. It's not quite as friendly as probably soybeans and wheat. We'll probably get a confirmation tomorrow that we're going to have a crop underneath demand. I think that's part of what happened here today. Nobody wants to really be short in front of tomorrow morning's supply demand estimates. Most feel that the corn numbers, supply demand tables are going to be real price positive, going to show, you know, a major decline in ending stocks a year from September 1st, maybe down underneath 1.5 billion bushels. With gold jumping $15 to $20 a day and crude oil prices up another dollar here today, nobody really wants to be short this market. And I think that's kind of what today's action really showed us here, Todd.
When you look at this, we talked last week about a triple top potentially. Actually, I think a triple top being confirmed in the corn market in the lead, or not the lead option, but in the December contract. That's still in place.
Yeah, but they have a very high unreliability factor of stopping any kind of move to the upside, whether it's a triple top or a triple bottom on the bottom side. Those are just usually major targets for technicians to go after, or for the trade to go after, because you got to keep in mind that Chicago is commission driven. It's contracts and commissions to trade those contracts, and when you see a solid formation like that, like a triple top or a triple bottom, that tells you that a few pennies on top of the triple top or a few pennies below the triple bottom, there are slugs of orders to be filled, which would be buy stops on the upside or sell stops on the downside. So it'll be the function of the market to go get that revenue to turn those commissions. So that's why I think sometimes these chart formations, some of them are real good to fade. And that would be my guess, is it's commission-driven, and the market goes where it can turn the most commissions. So you got to keep in mind on that one.
I was counting weeks in here while you're going through that, and I think what I heard you say, but I'm not sure because I wasn't paying complete attention, is that this would be a good one to fade, so that you considered that this still might go to the downside. Is that what you said,
no,
or did you do it the other way around on a triple
top? No,
I'm thinking
that it probably won't hold. Yes, like I said, they're the most unreliable formations. I mean, when I mentioned that here a week ago, that was meant to be probably one of the most bullish comments you could get out of it last week, is that triple tops don't have a strong reliability of working.
Okay.
So the market usually goes on up through that. We've got a ways to go yet. We'll have to see how planting finishes up here on this last go round, but I think that's what the market is worrying about: cold, wet weather, slowing this tail end of planting activity, may even lose some acres.
I know that, and the reason I was counting weeks is I know that cycle lows or troughs tend to come more consistently than the tops do. They shift from one area to the other. So can you count weeks out on this one and get a cycle low?
Well, I think on the corn, what it looks like is, you know, corn has a 20-week pattern, and that pattern can unfold several different ways, but the two dominant ways it unfolds is with two 10-week patterns, and those 10-week patterns have to be kind of given a plus or minus 1 to 2 weeks, so it's kind of 8 to 12 week type cycles. Or many times when you get into a real bullish situation, corn will unfold with three 6 to 7 week type cycle patterns, and this looks to be kind of the case. It kind of looks like Monday's low that we saw, the big decline that started on Friday and then followed through here on Monday morning, and then the way the market snapped back from that, it kind of looks like this week may go down as an early 6 to 7 week cycle low, and now the market is in position to climb higher here for another 2 to 3 weeks. So we started a new 6 to 7 week phase. So then you would say, okay, 6 weeks out, sometime in mid-June, late June, we'd maybe come down for a low. But in between, so we've got about 3 weeks up, 3 to 4 weeks up, which kind of says we could maybe firm this market maybe into early June.
Any expectation that it'll go up and try to bounce through 275 tomorrow?
Well, I think that depends upon what USGA does with the reports and probably what the weather forecast is. You know, I think that the bullishness is pretty well priced into the corn market. I think tomorrow's report is pretty well priced in. I would look for wheat or soybeans to lead corn on up through that. I think you have to, and I think there's reason to believe that you could take this bean market could pop real quick here, 20 cents. Wheat market could pop 15 cents real quick. And I think if those would happen, then that would pull corn on up through those, into those buy stops. And I'm sure there's just tons of them up there for the Chicago pit traders to go after.
And did I hear right? Were the commercials on the wrong side of the market today?
Commercials are on the wrong side of the market? I would never say that the commercials are on the wrong side of the market. I would never say that. I would say the small guy is on the wrong side of the market, but every once in a while the market does let him win. That's just like when you go over to the riverboat, you'll win sometimes, but usually you'll give it all back before you get off the boat, you know.
Yeah, that's the way it usually happens with me. I don't know about you. So we'll have to play this out. So I guess the question is, when you get up here and you've got corn trading at these levels again, which in historic patterns, Deese corn generally goes to 270, 275, maybe once in its the life of its contract, and it's been three times, four times, I guess, now, above 270, that is. Maybe more. I'd have to go back four times in the last month. Is this a place that you really need to think about marketing some new crop, or do you just sit back and watch this one?
Well, that's a good question. That's a real good question because, there, you know, like I've told you before, it's one thing forecasting prices and look at chart formations and trade in the market, and it's another thing trying to market a crop. From a farmer's perspective, because he has risk to manage. He's got downside price risk because he's investing a lot of money in raising this crop. So you've kind of got to look at it two different angles. You know, from a trader's point of view, the trend's up, and you play it from that angle. From a farmer producer's point of view, you probably have to take some downside price protection because these ain't bad levels considering what they could be if we have a big crop. But right in here, the market is really hyped up about an expanding demand base for ethanol and vegetable oil, biodiesel. That's a very popular topic. The news media is running with it all over the place on headlines and front pages, which makes me a little nervous because this is the kind of thing that you always look for tops being made when the news is the most bullish. So you got to be a little worried about that. But I think from a farmer's point of view, yeah, you have to do something in here. You kind of got to pick your own poison. But these ain't bad price levels. And seasonally, you know, these April, May highs over the long pull turn out to be awfully good sales by the time October comes around. They may not be the highest prices for the year, but they are, for the most part, good sales.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
That's about it, Todd.
Thanks much. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Dan Zwicker is with AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Thursday afternoons.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Peter Levitt, a wind advisory in effect for Champaign, Christian, Clark, Coles, Cumberland, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Ford, Iroquois, Livingston, Logan, Macon, McLean, Moultrie, Piatt, Sangam, and Shelby, and Vermilion counties until 11 o'clock, or until midnight tonight. Be careful of the wind out there if you're driving around. The forecast for this evening looks like this. A cloudy, windy shower, some isolated thunderstorms. Most of those will be in the northern sections of the state and in central Indiana. Lows will range from 38 in northern Illinois to 50 in the far south. Up next, some advice on corn production with Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger from the University of Illinois.
Well, we were aware that there had been some heavy rainfall right at the end of April, first few days of May, totaling 3 inches more in some places, primarily in central Illinois, but the distribution of it wasn't very consistent across the area, and parts of that west of that were still dry after that and wished they had gotten some of that. So that's a typical thing in Illinois, as we know, some people getting too much and others not enough. But this came at a time when the crop had been planted for the most part, but wasn't up yet. And the temperatures turned somewhat cool after that, a little bit cooler, but it wasn't a high temperature really before or after that, and the temperatures were a little lower than normal about that time and then persisted that way until more recently. So the problem that people started to notice then, after patiently waiting for about 2 weeks or so, and then started to look at the corn to see what the problem was, why it wasn't up. Part of that sensitivity came from plantings that were earlier in April, and some people had their crop coming up in about a week, 8 days, 10 days, that sort of thing. When we plant in early April, we normally don't expect it to come up quite that fast, but our distribution of growing degree days, temperatures basically through April this year, were more consistent than usual. We usually start out cool, and corn planted the first week of April can be expected to take, 2.5-3 weeks to come up. This year it came up usually in less than 2 weeks, no matter when it was planted in the first half of April. And then in later April this year it cooled off a little bit, and then we got this heavy rainfall. And our suggestion is that people go and take a pretty close look at the crop. Most obviously have, and some are starting to rotary hoe to try to get the crop to come up. When it goes this length of time with these temperatures, and we normally think that corn ought to come up in about 110 to 120 growing degree days as we measure it with air temperature. Now, air temperature and soil temperature aren't the same thing, and people often figure that the air temperature can't predict that very well, but it actually does a reasonably good job, including this year where we've planted the crop and watched it. It's coming up in about 120 growing degree days, sometimes a little bit less. And when the temperatures are consistent like they are now, that's sort of a better prediction typically. So my suggestion would be, if people have experienced 130 to 140 growing degree days since they planted this crop and it's not up yet, then they need to go out there and take a look. And to put some perspective on that, we're accumulating in days like this with, say, a low of 50 and a high of 70, we're accumulating about 10 growing degree days. So certainly within 2 weeks, this crop ought to be coming up. And if it's not, there's something wrong. And we need to go out and see what that is. Now, there's two sort of separate possibilities for major problems with stands in this kind of condition. The first, and the one that I fear is most operable, is the one where the soils have been saturated, fairly cool. There are diseases out there that some of the seeds and seedlings may simply be deteriorating because they were in saturated soils too long. And we didn't see water standing so much as a result of this, because surface soils were fairly dry and it came pretty hard, so some of it ran off as well. But even where water didn't stand, the seeds were not in great shape to sit there in sort of saturated soils. The fact that it was relatively cool meant that both the processes in the seed were slowed down some. Some of the diseases that like cool and wet soils gained a upper hand there. And also the drying didn't take place very fast, and so the seeds or seedlings sat in wet conditions longer than they would have otherwise. That one is a poor thing to have. That's a very poor thing to have happen at that stage, because it's once a plant has started to deteriorate from that, it usually isn't going to come back very well. So before I would run a rotary hoe out there, I'd certainly want to go out and see if seedlings are discolored, if the seed is rotted, roots have rotted off. Usually there's going to be some visible signs that the seed or seedling has pretty much had it. And by this point, the chances of it growing back are probably not very good. And some of these fields may simply need to be replanted. The other possibility, and the one that comes to mind for most people after heavy rain, is soil crusting. Now, soil crusting is a really hard thing to sort of predict. We know it when we see it. Generally, the hard rains, of course, sort of start that process. They sort of disintegrate soil granules and have the soil kind of run together on the surface. Planters are generally pretty good at not, you know, leaving powder on top of the seed so that a little bit of rain can really form a crust there. But our soils in much of central Illinois aren't particularly prone to crusting. But under the right conditions, almost anyone would crust to some extent. So that's the thing that people are taking the rotary hoe out to try to break up, with the idea that if you can just, you know, remove that sort of shoe that's standing on top of these plants there with this soil crust, that then they'll be able to come up. The prospects for that are better, certainly, than if the seed or seedling is rotting, but we always have a little bit of concern. Sometimes when the seedlings have sat there long enough, they'll even start to leaf out underground, which usually is a pretty bad sign. And while we don't have very many careful studies on this, we think that once a seed has sort of sat there, unable to emerge for a certain length of time, that it may not come back fully, even if you break the crust on top of it and let it come out into the light. Still, that would be our first attempt, and it can't do much harm. But I would also look at those seedlings before we and after we rotary hoe and see whether or not they look like they're going to form into a normal plant. Typically, the rotary hoe, while it's the best device we've got, it will do some damage to some seedlings, and it will do more damage if those seedlings don't have very good root growth. So it's ideally done, and historically, the rotary hoe is more of a weed control device. We hardly ever use it for that anymore, at least not where we're using herbicides. Instead, we use it to break up this soil and to free these plants. Well, I think we need to be cautious and not assume that because we rotary hoed it, now we have a good stand that's really going to produce a high yield. It's not still very late in the scheme of things, and so replanting might still be a very good option in some of the fields with the biggest stand problems. If you run our replant calculator that's at the Illinois Agronomy Handbook website, you'll see that as of May 15th, I believe a stand that can be justified if you don't have much expense for replanting, and in other words, if you get free seed, you can justify a stand in the low 20,000s. I want to caution people, though, that that's a stand of healthy plants. And we produce data like that by having healthy plants left. If the plants aren't healthy, if their roots have been restricted, if some of them have some root disease, even if they're surviving, I'd be reluctant to call them a fully healthy plant unless they clearly looked like they were. And for some people, we probably don't want to wait long enough to know if they're going to be a fully healthy plant. So the upshot of it is, if I had a stand, even 23 or 24,000 that looked like, you know, some of the plants are really going to struggle and might not make it, it may be worth considering replanting to get good uniform emergence. Now, we never like to think of planting this late and the yield consequences. At the same time, waiting 2 weeks and then saying, well, I guess some of those plants aren't going to make it, and replanting then would be even worse. So I wouldn't wait around too long to make the decision. Fortunately, in Illinois this year, I don't think we have probably as many fields or as many acres affected this way as we often do. And including last year. And while we had a good planting season last year, the frost early in May meant that some people replanted some substantial acreages. But I'd certainly get out there, and the first thing I would notice is if emergence isn't happening, and any crop that was planted in April now, it ought to be up, or we ought to be out seeing why it's not up.
That was University of Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger. If you'd like to read more from Emerson and the rest of the crop systems team at the University of Illinois, you can do so online. Just visit the bulletin at www.ipm.uiuc.edu. Your local newscast is next, and then we'll talk with meteorologist Peter Levitt. I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A close political advisor to former Illinois Governor George Ryan has been sentenced to 8 months in prison and 8 months of house arrest. Donald Udston's sentencing today came after he pleaded guilty to tax fraud conspiracy in 2002. He had cooperated with federal prosecutors in their investigation of corruption when Ryan was Secretary of State and Governor. Prosecutor Joe Levin says Udston had lived in a cesspool of corruption, but had turned over a new leaf when he helped investigators. Three Green Party candidates will have their names listed first on the ballot in Champaign County board races this fall. A Green candidate drew his party's name in the Champaign County Clerk's biennial ballot lottery today. The Green candidates are running in County Board Districts 7, 8, and 9. Democrats will be listed second in those races and first in County Board races where Greens are not running. County Clerk Mark Sheldon says it's debatable whether the order in which candidates are listed on the ballot plays a role in who's elected. You'll soon be seeing more gasoline pumps offering E85 ethanol-based fuel in Indiana. Meijer and General Motors are joining forces to make the alternative fuel available at the discount chain's gas stations in that state. The U.S. House is considering a package of military-related measures that includes a provision to stall a plan to treat wastewater from the VX destruction process at the Newport Chemical Depot at New Jersey for final treatment. Some members of Congress are not happy with the plan to ship the wastewater off of the Western Indiana Army Depot to a chemical plant in New Jersey. The trail of a man accused of killing his wife and stepdaughters in Park County, Indiana, will be held in Noblesville near Indianapolis. Chad Cottrell's attorneys had argued that publicity over the crime would make getting a fair trial difficult in Park County. Cottrell has pleaded not guilty. Opera star and Illinois native Jerry Hadley is facing charges in New York of being intoxicated while sitting behind the wheel of his parked car. An attorney for Hadley, who grew up in Manlius and studied music at the University of Illinois, says no crime was committed because the singer never intended to drive. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to The Information Advantage. This is WILL on a Thursday afternoon. Joined now by Pete Levitt, meteorologist, to take a look at the agriculture weather forecast across the two-state region and around the globe. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I want to know about weather in the last 24 hours and rainfall amounts across to Illinois, parts of Indiana, and then maybe 48 hours out, what kind of rainfall we can expect.
Well, first of all, it's been wet. That's no secret to anyone. We've had amounts in the last 24 hours weren't spectacular, mostly in the half to 1.5 inch range across parts of Illinois and into Indiana. But we're going to see rain for the next couple of days, and this is going to be a cool, very wet period. As a large low-pressure system surface in a loft just camps over the Midwest and drifts northward up through Michigan and then circulates around southward again late in the weekend, just keeping everybody under a flow of very cool, wet, raw weather. Not a pleasant period. Lots of rain expected ultimately, but I think the heaviest rain will be farther east over in the eastern corner of the Midwest and up through parts of the Northeast. Still look for amounts 1.5 to 2.5 inches for this period
which is an awful lot of rain for this time of year.
It's 60 degrees outside the studios here. I think we have a called for high maybe of 66 in the deep south and northern part of the state. 50 degrees, not
right.
Really warm at
all. Only in the 50s. The lows generally in the 40s. And that's what's going to continue right on through the period. We're seeing these max mins. We'll get some 60s again down south tomorrow. But up north, I think the maxes will only be in the in the upper 40s, maybe low 50s, and even seeing some lows down around the upper 30s. So a real cool, raw period, and if it's not raining, it's going to be persistently cloudy, and it's just going to be about as unpleasant as it gets this time of year for anybody thinking of going for outdoor activities.
You know, the planters will be parked at the end of the field. How about the rest of the globe? What are we looking at?
Well, the rest of the area, first we'll wrap up with the hardwood wheat belt, which finally had its little period of useful wetness, and they're in for dry weather now for the next 4 or 5 days. All the weather has shifted eastward there. The beneficiary of dry weather got a little cool down there this morning, but it's not damaging, maybe a few frosty areas in northeast Colorado, which may have hurt the winter wheat crop, which is in the flowering stages where they're vulnerable, but otherwise fine. No weather there. We're looking at places in the in Europe, weather very normal, precip normal, a little wet over in parts of western Russia, hampering some field work, but okay there. We move on to China because we have a wheat crop growing in north China. And they've been dry, but they've been getting some showers from time to time. And finally, Australia, hot and dry as they move into their winter season. Some showers down in the extreme southeast. Cool in the southeast, very warm and dry in the west and northwest. They may have some problem planting their winter crop.
We appreciate you being with us today.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt joins us on Thursday afternoons. That's the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.